to worship the Lord, worship in spirit and truth. Those who say that they know Him must walk as He walked. Those who worship the Lord, worship in spirit and truth. Those who say that they know Him must walk as He obey His word, then we walk in the light. He is the way and the truth, and in Him is the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. We don't keep His word, then we walk in the darkness, and the truth's not in us. If we walk in the light, we will have fellowship sweet, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from sin. He is the way and the truth, and in Him is the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. He is the way and the truth, and in Him is the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. Walk in the light. He is the way and the truth, and in Him is the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light.
Well, good morning, friends. Good to be with you this morning. And as we get ready to get into the scriptures, finish out the book of Luke, we're in Luke chapter 24, if you're following along in your own Bible. It sounds like winter's going to be coming back to Maine here this week from what we're hearing, talking about winter. Storm watches out there. We'll be watching for winter to happen again, and I guess it will be what it will be here at the beginning of April, and a little bit more snow, maybe up to a foot of snow. Isn't this the stuff you like to wake up to? Yeah, should you have stayed in Florida a bit longer, maybe? Yeah, you wonder about that. So Luke chapter 24 is where we are. It doesn't matter what we get for weather any day. This is a day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice in it. And, you know, part of our problems will seem to disappear when we begin to rejoice in the Lord. In fact, many of our problems will become so small. The things that are currently today weighing you down, if you would turn your focus to the worship of Christ, those things would likely disappear. So I just want to encourage you today to bring your praise to the Lord, bring your worship to the Lord, to rejoice in the Lord, and see what the Lord will do. Luke chapter 24. Let's jump into it. We'll finish out the book of Luke today. I'm not totally quite decided where we're going to go next, but we'll get that figured out as the days go ahead, I'm sure, or by tomorrow morning. It says, while they were still talking about this. Now, what is the this that they were talking about? You back up in the text. You know, they put these headings. The headings are artificial. In fact, verses and chapters are artificial. They weren't part of the original text. And so sometimes we'll pick up at a heading, which is fine, but you got to go back a little bit and what was going on. While they were still talking about this, Jesus on the road to Emmaus, go up to the next heading here. It's what we talked about yesterday, on the road to Emmaus. These two guys are walking along. It was maybe evening. We don't know. One's name was Cleopas. We know this. The other might have been Simon. But as they walked, they didn't recognize him. For whatever reasons. Actually, the text says it was hidden from them. They didn't understand to whom they were speaking as Jesus walked along the way. But the point that I want to make here is they refer Jesus back to what is taking place and why their hearts are heavy and all of those types of things. And they say, so you don't know, you haven't heard, you haven't realized, are you new to these parts? I mean, it's kind of what they're saying. But then they realized it was Jesus. And it says down in verse 29, picking up, we looked at this yesterday. Verse 29, they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it's nearly evening. Almost dark. The day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Now, there was an oft prayer that often would be said. In fact, we still say it today. My son-in-law made a wonderful, great loaf of bread, very tasty bread. I shouldn't be having a lot of white bread, but it's really good bread, and he used a lot less sugar, and that kind of helps. But so we broke bread. We gave thanks the other night. Here, Jesus, it says, verse 30, when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were open. They recognized him. He disappeared from their sight. The prayer was, blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the grain of the earth. And it would often be the beginning of the prayer, but just the way he prayed it, they recognized him. It says their eyes were opened. They recognized him. He disappeared from their sight. Now, I want to just highlight something from that. People's eyes are spiritually blinded. They cannot see it. We're told in the book of 2 Corinthians that the enemy has placed a veil over people's eyes so they cannot understand the gospel. And we can intellectualize, we can provide a logical argument, we can provide a brilliant testimony on our part. All of these things we can do. We can give them many convincing proofs, but until their eyes are open, they're not going to understand. And this is a truth that we draw out here that we need to take to heart as we try to share Christ with other people, the fact that people's eyes are blinded. So we pray that people's eyes will be opened, that the blinders that cover their eyes would be removed, that people would come to the place of seeing and understanding the gospel. We need to pray for spiritual awakening, for blinders to be removed, for hearts to be opened and receptive to the gospel. Those are the very things that we need to be praying for in people's lives. So we pray that people's eyes would be open, as we read here. Then their eyes were opened, verse 31. Their eyes were open, they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he walked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. They found the 11 with them assembled, saying, "It's true, the Lord is risen. He appeared to Simon." That's why we know Simon and Cleopas, because they're both in the passage. And there were a couple of different Simons, actually, that were part of the entourage. Could be Simon Peter. When the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when they broke bread. So that's where we left off yesterday, his appearance to that couple of disciples. And the reason this is important is people want to poo-poo on the resurrection sometimes. Now, what I want to say is this. If the resurrection really happened, and if he really appeared to all these people, we have to sit up and take note, because he is the Lord, he is the Savior, and everything that he has said, we should be taking to heart and following it and believing it and pursuing it. All those things would be true for us if in fact he is raised from the dead. He is the Lord to whom we bow. Well, there's this proof to these few on the road to Emmaus that takes place, but then as we go further into the chapter here, it says he appears to his disciples. This is the chapter heading that we find. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." I mean, he was just poof. He was there. Remember, he has a glorified body. He can simply just appear in that way. It says they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." A glorified body. It wasn't just a ghost. He was a person standing in their midst with a body. "Touch me," he says. You can't touch a ghost. You can't touch a body. When he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy, I mean, they were overwhelmed. It wasn't like an unbelief of doubt, but it was an unbelief of joy. It's like, "I can't believe it," type of thing. I just don't believe it. I don't buy it. But wow, it's so hard to believe. Wow. So they still do not believe because of joy and amazement. He asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Second thing, ghosts can't be touched. Ghosts don't eat, but he ate it in their presence. He said this to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that was written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Now, here's another truth that we need to pull out in verse 45. Spiritual truth is spiritual truth. It is not natural truth. Spiritual truth is the type of truth that we need to have our eyes open to understand. He opened their minds. As you read the scriptures, sometimes there are things you go along and you don't understand it. Then that 27th time when you're reading it, or whatever number, all of a sudden it's like, "I just never realized it, never saw that before. And it was there the whole time. You just didn't understand it." The Lord is continually helping us to understand more and more and more of the scriptures, opening our minds to more and more. As we are ready for more and more truth, he reveals more and more truth to us through the scriptures and of the scriptures and understanding of the scriptures. But people who don't have Christ, their minds are closed to the things of the Spirit, because they don't have a spiritual mind. They only have a physical, earthly mind. Here we realize that it takes the Lord, the work of the Holy Spirit, to open people's minds that they would understand the scripture. So a prayer in church on a Sunday morning or whatever you worship is this: Lord, open the minds of people that they may understand the scriptures. That should be our prayer. Open people's minds to understand the scriptures. And that's exactly what happened. He told them, this is what was written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That's where they were. That's where he was crucified. That's where the gospel would get its start. The post-resurrection gospel would get its start right there in Jerusalem. That's why it says beginning in Jerusalem. And it will be preached in all nations. Now, the nations of the world have changed again and again and again names. I mean, some countries, you know, within 50 years, they've changed their name yet again. Turkey just changed its name here not that long ago, what, in 2019, 2020. You know, the Republic of Turkey. And we used to just always spell Turkey like turkey that you would eat, T-U-R-K-E-Y, but now it is spelled differently, and it's the Republic of Turkey. They've changed their name, and some countries will change their names. The point being this, the gospel will be preached, the gospel of repentance, repenting from self, turning to Christ. The gospel of forgiveness of sins will be preached in all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of all these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Now, the idea that they are witnesses of these things, I'm going to take us to another passage of scripture here that will help us to kind of underscore and underline the significance of his appearance. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul will further extrapolate or define just how many people the Lord appeared to. 1 Corinthians. So if you're ever in a conversation with somebody, you got to remember it's 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 is the resurrection chapter. 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter. And here you go. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and in which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. Let me just, in verse 6, after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have died or fallen asleep. This chapter also underscores how many people Jesus appeared to. If it were just a few people, some people would say, yeah, it was just a few people. He, you know, a few people were overtaken in emotions. And because they were overtaken in emotions, they thought they saw the Lord alive because of their emotions. They were swept up in their emotions. But yet, when you get to this, there are an exceedingly greater number than just a few. It isn't just that Simon and Cleopas on the road to Emmaus. It's not just the two. It isn't just Mary at the tomb. People say, yeah, it's, you know, they're overtaken with grief. But, well, then it's the 11. And now this passage tells us that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time. Now, unless they are taking Kool-Aid, like the Jim Jones variety of Kool-Aid, drinking the Kool-Aid, unless there's some entropic drug that has affected their minds, and even then, 500 at the same time seeing the same thing, this is not just a psychedelic phenomenon. This is a resurrected reality, a Christ that is risen from the dead. And Paul here is spelling out for us, making it clear, giving us convincing evidence of the resurrection of Christ. So 1 Corinthians 15, he talks about what happened. It says how he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. Let me put the text back up there. How he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time. Then he appeared down in verse 7. He appeared to James, then all the apostles, and then last of all appeared to me also as one abnormally born. He's sitting by abnormally born who wasn't a part of that number. He wasn't there. And he goes on and talks about being least of the apostles. But the beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 underscores for us the numbers of people that Christ has appeared to. Now, let me take us to one other place here in the scriptures, 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, John also says these things within the first few verses. That which was from the beginning, which this sounds like what you read in the Gospel of John chapter 1, that which is from the beginning, which we've heard, which, so here's the hearing, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, our hands have handled, so there is the hearing, there is the seeing, there is the handling with their hands. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it, we testify to it, we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, that you may also have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ, and we write this to make our joy complete. Whose joy? Not only their joy, but our joy as well. But you see in this passage right here, we heard, we saw, we touched. We saw in Luke that he ate with them. Another passage I'll take us to here just real quickly is over in the Acts, which is also written by Luke, just for the record. In the first few verses of Acts chapter 1, in my former book, Theophilus. Theophilus means lover of God, and oh, that would be our name, Theophilus. It's a great thing to talk to somebody who has Theo in their name. Theo is the Greek name for God. Theophilus, Phyllis, Philadelphia, lover of God. I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men. Here again is the visual evidence, and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. I mean, he showed them his hands, showed them his side. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days. He kept appearing again and again and again. It wasn't just one hallucinogenic experience that took place. It was over 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Verse 4, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The gift that we're given, the gift of the Holy Spirit that we have been given, and so we hold on to. We're empowered. Friends, you and I have the same power given us as we read about in the book of Acts. You have it. Now, not everybody has apostolic power. Not everybody has And so you say, wait a minute, what are you talking about? You just said one thing, they're saying another. No, what I'm saying is we all don't necessarily have the healing abilities that the apostles had. But we have the same Holy Spirit. We have the same power for living. We have the same power for life. We have the same power for overcoming. The Holy Spirit is upon us. We have the same Holy Spirit to reveal God's truth to us. We have the same Holy Spirit to give God's words to us. Part of one of the aspects of the ministry that I've given myself to is not the aspect that I am always the preacher all the time, but rather the one to encourage and inspire others. Probably apart from this broadcast, however long it continues to go, I probably am not going to be that regular featured week-to-week teacher. That isn't the role that God's called me into. The role that God has called me into is a role of equipping others and encouraging others and reminding others that they've been given the Holy Spirit. They've been given the ability. You know, some people say, well, I don't have the books. I don't have the education. I don't have you have the Holy Spirit. What you have in the scriptures and what you have in the Holy Spirit, I believe is sufficient. And we want to multiply that all over the world. Too often it's like, well, we just have our few select people who are preachers and we'll listen to them. Well, no, let's multiply all over the world. I accidentally had lunch yesterday with a pastor, and I say accidentally. We both happened to be at the same place at the same time. Both were going to get a little bit of lunch on our own. We both were out doing errands and whatnot. And so we had lunch together and spent time together. And, you know, he went from being not a preacher to being a preacher. And, you know, he's growing a church. He has no training in Bible and theology, and realizes perhaps the need to the Holy Spirit's at work, and the Holy Spirit will use him in that way. And that's the calling I have. Let's multiply things out and release other people into ministry. You have that power. We know in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, let me take us over there real fast, this promise, then we'll go back and finish the book of Luke. When they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said, it's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father is set by his own authority. In our day, we'd be saying, Lord, are you at this time going to return? Is the rapture going to happen? Are you coming back now? He says, it's not for you to know these things, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to all the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and the cloud hid them from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white, maybe the same two guys who were at the tomb, I stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him going. Don't stand here. You were given instructions. Go pray. Go wait. The Holy Spirit will be given to you. He will return at the proper time. You have work to do. Go pray. Go trust. You'll receive the power. You'll proclaim the message all over the world. And when Christ is ready, he will return to you again at that point. So, Book of Luke, finishing this out, Book of Luke, chapter 24. He's appeared to the disciples. And in the Book of Luke, Luke records the same as what we just read in the Book of Acts, same writer, same author. When he led them out to the vicinity of Bethany. Now remember, Bethany was about 2 miles east of Jerusalem, the other side of the Mount of Olives. He lifted up his hands and blessed them, and that's why often you'll see pastors, and that's why often I will raise a hand to to bless people. While he was blessing them, he left them, was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple praising God. So they're at the temple praising God. For us, let me ask a question. I guess it's almost time for me to quit, isn't it? It really is. Acts has 28 chapters, but we're the 29th chapter. Our event that we did in Turkey last March with Concentric, with the global leaders that we assembled. The name of that event we called Sequel. You and I, friends, are the sequel. We're the continuation of the gospel. The Holy Spirit poured out on them as the Holy Spirit poured out on us. We have seen, we have experienced. Hopefully, you've heard him call your name, like Pastor Jacob talked about on Sunday. Hopefully, you've had that experience and you know Christ. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the power. We have the message. We have the challenge to go and proclaim that message to people around us. Lord, help us to do that very thing. Help us to do all that you've asked us to do, Lord. Some of us may do the types of things I do. Some may plant churches in other countries, as some in our family here this morning are doing. But Lord, help us just to place ourselves in your hands that we might be used for your honor, for your glory. And Lord, whatever's in our lives today, I know I have an exceptionally busy day, Lord, as we have the busyness of our lives. Help us to walk with you, to enjoy you, to know you, and to make you known to others. Lord, be glorified in our lives. Lord, hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. See you tomorrow.